three questions that we're going to answer. One, what is the Word of God? Who is the Word of God? Second question, what is the message of the Word of God? Who is the message of the Word of God? Third question, how do we understand the Word of God? How do we recognize Jesus in the Word of God? Okay? First, the text will be John chapter 1, verse 1 to 18. The prologue of the Gospel of John. Okay? It says there, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word is God. Okay? The first three words are in the beginning. The same exact words that you will see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay? The same words. It's not accidental that the same words in the prologue of John will be the same words of introduction in Genesis. Why? Because it says there, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So that from the beginning, the Word existed and was there during creation. How do we know it? Okay? The word that is used in Greek, which is more powerful than our English word, is logos. Logos. Logos is the Word of God, but dynamic Word of God. Okay? The dynamic Word of God. It has two important functions. Logos is the creative word, so that when God says something, it's created. Verse 2, let there be light, and there was light. Because God's word is logos, the powerful word that creates. Okay? Second, is logos is also the wisdom of God, responsible for God's activity, creative activity. Put this into your context. If you're the one given by God the task to create the world, I'm quite sure we're in chaos. Have you seen that movie by Adam Sandler? That he was given a clicker. Click. The title of the movie is Click. He was given the clicker and he was like God. And he could click anything so that he could manipulate what is happening in the world. What happened? God wanted to try him. Okay, you know better than me. Here is the remote. Do whatever you want. And what happened? Chaos. Can you imagine God's creative wisdom? That when He created the world, He created in such a way that it was perfect. First, He created light. Second, He created the waters. Third, He created the land. Now, logically, because the water is already there, what is the fourth day of creation? He created all the fishes because there's already water. Second day, there was land. What did God create on the fifth day? Animals and plants. And what did God create on the sixth day? When everything is completed, He created man. God's wisdom. If God has given us one, I don't know if we can make it that perfect. We're going to mess it up. Logos of God. But who is this Logos of God? Who is this? If you go to John chapter 1, verse 4, and the Word is the life of the world. Life. Responsible for giving life. And the light of the world that overcomes darkness. Two things. The Word is the life, and it's also the light of the world. But what is this light that God is speaking, John is speaking? Verse 9 will tell you what this light is. When verse 9 says, and this light will come into the world. This light will come into the world. Then verse 14 of John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Read all your ancient religion. Read all concepts about religion. There is only one God who he was incarnate and became man, became flesh. So that when John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh, who is that man who became flesh? Only Jesus. No Eastern religion and Western religion would claim otherwise. So that the answer to our first question, who is this Word? What is this Word? This Word is Jesus, the Son of God. And when He dwelt among us, Jesus became the life of God, explaining to us the economy of the communion of gods. When you say the economy of communion of gods, it's simply the life of the household of God. So Jesus was telling us, what is the life of God? And what does God want from us? Second question. We have answered the first question. Who is the Word? Jesus. And what is this Word? This is the life of God who dwelt among us so that we will understand, so that we will know how to live our life that was messed up by the first fall. Second question. What is the message? Who is the message? Okay? In our gospel today, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 24, 25. See, I'm forgetting. 24. Yes, 24. It says there, after Jesus called the first disciples, He went around proclaiming the kingdom of God, healing every disease and illness. Okay? Two things again. He was proclaiming the kingdom of God and healing every form of illness and diseases. But what is this kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the core message of the Gospel of Matthew. In fact, it appeared in Matthew 33 times. 33 times. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, using it alternately, which means the same. The kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of God. But what is the kingdom of God? What did God want to proclaim? Ah, very easy. You go back to the Old Testament. When the first fall happened, what are the two realities that came into the world? Sin, which caused death. Illness, which caused death. It became a universal reality that no man can escape. Sin. And that is why we have that original sin. And that's why man started to die because of illness. From that state of grace, man had a fall. So when God sent His Son as the Word, the life of God in the world, what do you think would God do? What would be the mission of the Son? It's very easy. The central mission would be to forgive sins and to heal those who are sick physically and spiritually. Physically and spiritually. So that when John was arrested, he was telling himself, is Jesus the one or should we wait for another? So he sent his disciples. What was the question of the disciple? They asked Jesus, are you the one or should we wait for another? And Jesus said, tell John what you hear and what you see. What you hear and what you see. And Jesus said, the blind can see, the lame can walk, the deaf can hear, the dead are raised to life, and the gospel is proclaimed to the poor. What's the main message of Jesus? What's the mission, central mission of Jesus? Healing. Why? Because in the Old Testament, there is that concept that when you are in sin, you will get ill. Or you will be physically also sick. Spiritual sickness would lead to physical illness. And that is why many times Jesus would say, your sins has forgiven you. Go, and the guy will be healed. Your sins healed you. Go. Go and sin no more. You will always see the attachment that Jesus healed the spiritual nature of man so that the physical nature will also be restored to its original grace, original being. And that is healed, restored to God. Many times, Jesus would tell his disciples, and when he sent them the same commissioning, the same, he gave them power what? To preach. And what they were preaching? The repentance for the forgiveness of sin. Repentance. Even John the Baptist, when he was here, he was crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight your path. Why did John say that? Because he knew that man was not in the path of God. Man was not in the right path of God. And when Jesus came, he did not have the same message. His message was so different. Whereas John did not claim that he was the Messiah. Here is Jesus in our gospel today in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. By saying that, Jesus was inaugurating the kingdom. He was saying that the kingdom is now here. I am reestablishing the kingdom. The activity of God is in the words and action of Jesus. And what was the words and action of Jesus? Forgiveness of sins. Healing of those who are physically and spiritually sick. I did not come for those who are well. I came for those who are sick. Sick. That is why Jesus' central message was the forgiveness of sin and the healing of those maladies caused by sin. Third, I'm going to finish it in 15 minutes. Last point. Last point. Last question. Now, how do we understand? How do we recognize the Word of God? This is the most important text of the Catechism of the Catholic Church about the Eucharist. CCC 1324. Okay? Catechism of the Catholic Church, Article 1324. The Eucharist is the source and summit of Christian life. Source and summit of Christian life. Why? And why is it so important that we understand that the Eucharist is the source and summit of Christian life? Because that's the key to understand the Scriptures, the Word of God. It is not also an accident that we place the Word of God side by side with the table of the Eucharist. The table of the Word and the table of the Eucharist. There is a reason for that. There is a reason for that. Our text is Luke chapter 24, verse 12-23. The road to Emmaus. Remember that story. There are two disciples of Jesus who was going to Emmaus. While they were talking, suddenly Jesus walked with them and said, what are you talking about? And the disciples said, are you the only person in Jerusalem who do not know what had happened there in the past 3 days? What things? And Jesus started to tell them everything, starting from Moses down to the prophets, everything about him in Scriptures. Okay? Everything from Moses down to the prophets about him in Scriptures. Did they understand it? No. In spite of the fact that they had the background of the Old Testament, of Scriptures, they did not understand a thing. It was only after, in verse 30, after the breaking of the bread, when their eyes were open, and one of them said, how our hearts were burning when he was explaining scriptures to us. How do you understand the word of God? Eucharist. Eucharist. You see, in the multiplication of bread, and you will find that in all the Gospels, specifically, I would like to use John chapter 6 because it explains everything about the Eucharist. I am the bread of life. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have life eternal. In the multiplication of bread, what was the action of Jesus? Four actions of Jesus. He took the bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples. And the disciples in turn gave it. And after that, they got the excess, and it filled in one account 11, in one account 7 baskets. In the road to Emmaus, what was the action of Jesus? He took the bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to them, and their eyes were open. Last Supper, when Jesus was with his disciples on the Last Supper, what was the action of Jesus? He took the bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples. The same way he took the cup, raised it, toast it, and then gave it to his disciples. Jesus was saying, arriba, abajo, abante, atrás, a la boca. Those who know Spanish will know that. But that was it. It was not an accident that in the institution of the Eucharist, the Last Supper, there were four actions. Got the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it. In the multiplication of bread, the same actions. Jesus got the bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to his disciples. And here in Emmaus, the same thing happened. Jesus got the bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, to tell us that these three events prefigure the Eucharist. And when they received the Eucharist, their eyes of their minds and their hearts was open. Ephata, be open. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 to 7. Ephata. But that's not it. It did not end there. Farther, after that event, 31 to 45, here is what happened. The disciples went back to Jerusalem, and then they told all their apostles, we have seen the Lord! We have seen the Lord! And the apostles said, yes, we have also seen the Lord. Peter and John saw the Lord. And then suddenly Jesus was there, standing, and said, peace be with you. But they did not believe Jesus. Who is this? They could not believe it's Jesus. So what did Jesus do? Show them his hands. And then, did they believe? No. Show them his feet. Did they believe? No. How did they believe? What happened? It was only after Jesus said, do you have some food? And they gave Jesus a piece of fish. After the meal, immediately Jesus said the famous words that Pope Francis used to institute the Word of God Sunday. Aperuit ilis, which means be open. They opened it. Luke chapter 24, verse 45. Jesus, after dining with the apostles, said, then he opened their minds to understand Scripture. Luke chapter 24, verse 45. 45. But why is it that it's always after a meal? It's not accidental also. Why is it that it's always after the breaking of the bread? Why is it that it's always after a meal? Because a meal is an important element in the life of the Jewish life. When Zacchaeus, in Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10, Jesus was passing, and Zacchaeus went in a sycamore tree. And then Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down, for I will be dining in your house. And what happened? Jesus again dined with Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus said, Lord, if I have defrauded anyone, I will give it back fourfold, four times. But why a meal? When Matthew was called, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 to 12. What happened? Matthew was in his tax collector's table, and Jesus passed, and Jesus said, come and follow me. And that time, Matthew left his tax collector's table, again, dined with Jesus. There is always that dining. Why? Because to be invited to eat with somebody in the Jewish mindset is you are a friend. You are a friend. I no longer call you slaves, but friends. Because slaves don't know what the master is doing, but a friend knows. How do you understand Scriptures? Through the Eucharist. How do you understand Scriptures? If you become friends of God. When you are invited to share in the banquet of God. That is why it's so important that we come to the Eucharist. Because in the Eucharist, Jesus wants to share with you everything. He wants to reveal to you everything. If you are His friend. If we are His friend. Brothers and sisters, today is Word of God Sunday. I hope and I pray that you will make the Word of God really central in the life of your family, of your own life. Make the Word of God really a word of life for you. To end, let us listen to the letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 2, verse 3 to 16. All the Scriptures are inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, and training in righteousness. Sometimes we want to make our own way of life. God has given us His Word for training of righteousness, words for teaching, words for reproof if we are in error. And yet, we are not capitalizing it. Make the Word of God really a word of life for us.